Now, two views, one Palestinian and one Israeli, of why these violent demonstrations erupted now. They began after Prime Minister Netanyahu created a new opening in an archaeological tunnel in East Jerusalem, underground held sacred by both Muslims and Jews. Khalil Shakaki, a Palestinian, is professor of political science at the Najah University in Nablus. He says the Israeli government's opening of that tunnel was a provocative act.
It provokes religious fears among Palestinians. The fear is that this new Israeli government has taken to de-Islamize the city. This is in the heart of the Muslim quarter of the city. This touches directly on the walls, the basis of the walls of Al-Haram Sharif, of the mosque itself. And therefore, it's extremely sensitive, and it shows an Israeli disregard to the religious sensitivities of the Muslims. The Israelis are looking for symbols, for history, for Jewish symbols, Jewish history, even underneath the city, in order to de-Islamize the above-the-ground reality. It's a political, religious message that East Jerusalem is a Jewish city.
One of the observations that we've heard and read from several people yesterday was that the strength of these demonstrations and the anger of the Palestinians, while it might have initially been organized by the Palestine Authority, seems to have exceeded everyone's expectations. Is this because it's a spontaneous rage, or is there other organization going on that goes beyond that of the Arafat government?
This has gone beyond expectations. I think things have gotten out of control, out of Arafat's control and out of any organized group control. And it reflects the feeling of the in the Palestinian street that the Palestinian Authority itself isn't doing enough, isn't doing much, that its efforts have so far failed, that the Israeli government has not been responsive to the demands of the Palestinians. And this feeling is expressing itself, and Palestinians sort of taking matters into their own hands.
Does this mean that Mr. Arafat's leadership is now in doubt, that he might not be in control of Palestinians in other regards?
I don't think that he is not in control. I think during the past 2-3 months, with the stalling in the peace process and the deterioration in the economic situation, as well as in the situation in human rights and violations by the Palestinian Authority, etc., I think there has been a growing feeling that the dream of the Palestinians is being derailed, and that in part this is the responsibility of the Palestinian Authority. Arafat's responsibility, Arafat's popularity, I think, has been to a large extent in decline.
Professor Shakaki, this relationship between Israel and the Palestinians, this thing we call the peace process, has weathered some pretty big crises, from the killings in the mosque at the Tomb of the Patriarchs to the bombings in Jerusalem. What right now is your feeling about its prospects after these events today?
The most important factor that had led to the stalling in the peace has been the election of the new Israeli government. The new Israeli government seems to have other ideas about the peace process. My guess is that the events of the past 2 days have sent a signal to the Israeli government that stalling, that freezing the peace process is not cost-free. My feeling is that the two sides have a great deal of interest in maintaining the peace process. The Israelis do not gain by putting an end to the process, and I think they now, more than ever, I think they are in a position to realistically assess the price they would have to pay for the continuation of the lack of progress.
Khalil Shakaki, a professor of political science, spoke to us from Nablus. Zev Hefetz is a columnist for the weekly Jerusalem Report, and he's talking to us now from his home in Jerusalem. And Zev Hefetz, when you look at these events, why do you think they happened now?
I think that the proximate cause was the opening of this tunnel. But I believe that the deeper cause has to do with the fact that the Netanyahu government hasn't really given the Palestinians any indication that it's serious about keeping its commitments under the Oslo Accord. And the level of frustration has risen there.
The government called on Yasser Arafat to show that he's in charge and to exert some control over the Palestinian police, for example. I mean, does the government have any complaint here, any proper complaint with the Palestinians?
Well, I think that it's very disingenuous to suppose or claim that Arafat didn't put this whole package together. Certainly it was Arafat who told people to go out and demonstrate. And it was Arafat, presumably, who told his police, which he controls, not to control the demonstration. And this Palestinian soldiers or policemen who shot at Israelis were, after all, under the leadership and the control of Arafat.
Tell me about the tunnel exit. How important is it? Is it as important a symbol to Israelis as it evidently is to Palestinians?
First of all, there are two kinds of Israelis. There are those nationalist and religious Israelis for whom biblical sites and holy places are of utmost importance. Mr. Netanyahu may not personally belong to that group. Certainly his voters belong to that group. On the other side, the people who voted for Mr. Peres and the Labor Party tend to be people who, who would view this tunnel as nothing more than a tourist attraction.
Sometimes the importance of these things becomes magnified when it's an issue of if you don't have the right to have such an entrance to the tunnel. That is, would it be a concession of Israeli sovereignty or suggesting that there's something in doubt about Israel's control of East Jerusalem if the government were to refrain from completing this tunnel?
Well, nobody asked the government to raise the question. No one was discussing this tunnel, and indeed no one was discussing sovereignty in East Jerusalem very much until the government opened the tunnel up. And so in that sense, it invited the debate, and it invited the reaction. It's also the case that had they really wanted to open the tunnel, if that was the main question and the main issue here, it would have made sense for them to sit down with the Palestinians and to put opening the tunnel on the table along with the other outstanding issues. But clearly, from the way the government did do it, that is to say, in the dark of night, surrounding the place with security troops, there was an indication that it itself knew that this was a provocative step.
You're describing the Israeli government, this is your account, taking a provocative action, and the
yeah.
Palestinian Authority, in turn, organizing demonstrations, knowing they would go to the edge, if not beyond it. In effect, you're describing two forces that have almost wanted this to happen today.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if Netanyahu wanted it to happen or not. There are two ways to construe his performance so far. One of them is the simple construction, and it's the one that I tend to, really, which is that because he's inexperienced and because he's not a very strong leader, and because he finds himself torn by various ideological camps within his own group of supporters, he hasn't really been able to decide, and his paralysis has led to frustration, which led to this outburst. But there's a more Machiavellian way to look at it. Mr. Netanyahu has said many times that he doesn't like the Oslo Accords, even though he may have to fulfill them. And it's, I suppose, conceivable, if he's much more clever than I think he is, that what he's done is purposely caused this thing to ignite so that Israel can reconquer the West Bank and Gaza and put paid to these accords. I hope that that isn't what is happening here. I don't think it is, but I suppose it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the other catastrophes that have occurred since the Oslo Accords were signed, does this one strike you as potentially fatal to the accords, or do you think everyone will be able to patch it up and move on to...
I don't know if it's fatal, but it's very, very nasty. And one of the reasons that it's nasty is because it's the Israeli nightmare on television. After all, what we saw were Palestinian soldiers, some of them in Palestinian uniforms, using live weapons and live ammunition, which were provided to them by us, with the understanding that they would be our partners in peace, being turned on us. And for whatever reasons and for whatever justifications Arafat may have, this is a disturbing sight, not just to supporters of Mr. Netanyahu, but to virtually all Israelis.
Zev Chefetz is a columnist for the Jerusalem Report.